4 via air mobile.
ZEW, was that AE4 Bravo Michael?
Alpha Echo 4 Bravo Mike Mobile.
Good day. This is Ben down in Simpsonville.
My name over here is Ben also. I am going down 385, headed south, going back to Charleston for Mother's Day.
My mom lives a couple of cities over, just over in Greer, so we'll get to see her pretty easily this year.
Yeah, I'm a little bit away from home. Moved up here for work, and I've been here since August.
So you're so you've moved. This is not like a temporary project job or anything.
Your contract with the company. I'm looking to. What's the word? I'm looking to invest a lot of time into the company and retire from it. But that's at least another 20 to 30 years, I think. But yeah, I'm up here working and currently looking for a place to stay. Living in an apartment is not allowing me to get on HF, and I can barely get out there on VHF.
Those are tough restrictions. You think an HOA is bad, and then you look at apartment living, and it's like, man, that's just the physical restrictions. I don't have an HOA or anything, and I've got a dipole that is doing really good on 10 through 40, but I can't quite get 80 meters, and I've got to get it higher up in the air. So I'm struggling with that because everything seems to happen on the 75-80 band.
In the air. Was a little bit too close to the ground to be effective long distance, but it was good enough. I had a couple contacts in, had one contact in Russia and a couple other ones into Europe on 80 meters, so it did okay. I just miss it a lot. Actually, I got a new HF radio. Before I moved up here, wasn't anticipating I'd be moving up here, and lo and behold, I got the job, and I was like, whoa, what am I going to do with all this equipment?
On to it until you can use it, because most people I talk to who get rid of their equipment are always like, man, I got rid of that ICOM 20 years ago, and I really regret it.
Totally agree. I picked up my current HF rig because my primary HF rig bit the dirt, and it's been a doorstop for a while. But I'm looking at sending it in to get it repaired. But the work schedule and me and every traveling every other weekend or every weekend back down to Charleston is not letting me get all the paperwork and everything done to send it back. And I missed that radio a lot. It was a lot simpler, and everything was just right at hand where I needed it.
Tough commute to do over and over. I had a contract in Florence for a while, so I was driving every week or so down to Columbia and then up 20 to Florence. But that section between Columbia and Charleston, and I hope they're doing a widening project on that because that's just brutal.
It's really bad. Man, oh man. But they widened it a little bit up to three lanes one way in certain areas, but not too much. Not too much.
It needs to be six lanes the whole way between those two cities.
110%.
To Edisto every now and then and stay down there. I've got several friends that live in Charleston. I love Charleston, love Edisto down there, but man, brutal heat in the summertime, and yeah, that the trip is a tough one.
My parents like it down there. That's where they decided to retire. I'm not one for the beaches. Growing up, the only time I ever went to the beach was at night. And everybody goes, why do you go to the beach at night? Ain't that when the sharks come out? I said, yeah, I still go in the water, but I don't go past ankle deep.
Absolutely agree. When we go down to Edisto, it's usually the winter or early spring before the mosquitoes come out, before the heat gets intense. before the crowds show up, and it works really well. So then what we do is we go up to the mountains in western North Carolina to do summer trips, and go up there, escape the heat, and it's worked out pretty well for us.
In Greenville, I was gonna say I was thinking it was gonna be a lot worse, but everybody said no, this ain't summertime. They said wait till it becomes real hot. I was like, oh Lord, don't tell me it's gotten a lot worse than this.
We had a really mild, and I would actually say pathetic winter. I don't even feel like we had a winter this year. And but last summer, no, we were mid 90s. With July and August, and we usually crack the hundreds in August. Didn't do it last year, but if you come up here to escape the heat of Charleston, you're not.
Head up a little bit up north. That's why I like being up here. It's a little bit closer to mountains. The only thing I got worried about more often are venomous snakes. That's the only thing I don't like being up here. I have more venomous snakes than being down there, but closer to the beach.
You know, copperheads, cottonmouths, things like that. Rattlers if you get deep in the woods. And but down the coast, are coral snakes a big deal, or are they pretty rare?
I didn't catch that last part. The APRS went off.
Coral snakes down at the coast, or are they pretty rare?
They're into the woods like I used to growing up, but I have seen a lot of the non-venomous version, but friends have told me they've seen the coral snakes here and there, but not as often as rattlers or copperheads and everything else of that type.
Not a fan of snakes, usually I don't have any problems with them. I see one, I get away. If I have the chance to kill it, I do. I've made my peace with king snakes, black snakes, the ones that eat rodents and stuff. So I'm good with those, but if it's a poisonous one, man, I'm not happy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't have nothing against the non-venomous ones that keep the rodents away. But when they go after chickens, that's when I call it quits. I don't know how my brother deals with it. He's got a collection of ball pythons for a side business, but I don't know how he deals with it.
A quick nope from me. I actually have in the past year. Two different neighbors who started raising chickens, I guess part of the egg crisis thing. And one guy who's lived here longer has a caged yard for them and stuff, and the other one lets them roam free. However, this area is prone to lots of hawks and birds of prey, so I wonder how many of the free roamers have been picked off by the hawks yet.
I heard chicken run would do wonders, but I've been doing a lot of raiding for years. I've been wanting to get into not a homestead farm, but farming enough for myself, able to produce enough meat for myself and stuff like that for me and family and friends and stuff. But I've heard enough that you can just put like a covering over your yard or something like that to avoid those types of predator. Birds.
Yes, that's kind of what my neighbor did. He has a house for them to stay, like a chicken house for them to stay in, and he's got a ramp that leads to, it's a PVC pipe geodesic dome, which he covered with chicken wire, and that's where they'll get to go and scrounge around and exercise, stretch their legs and stuff. And it took me a while to figure out that's what it was until I just kind of went back there and got a closer look at it. I was like, okay, he's on to the hawk thing, obviously.
You got a decent rooster or roosters, they do usually take care of their hens and stuff. But, I mean, other than that, you can get a goose also. There's a lot of little tricks that you can do to keep your chicken flock alive and get some warnings.
Something people have definitely figured out along the way.
About them ground predators, raccoons, possums, and oh my lord, even some rats. Some rats get big enough to attack them chickens.
That I know the possums like to eat insects and stuff, but I didn't know they'd go after something that large.
After the eggs and stuff, I haven't heard a possum go after a chicken, but I know they go after the eggs and stuff like that.
And, that's why the people build the chicken houses a foot or so off the ground and cage it all in, is to keep those ground animals out of there from stealing the eggs.
Yeah, so I've been looking for a house, at least an acre, so I could put up some antennas, but most likely want to get two or better. But boy, is it hard looking for a home that's even close to work is what's my problem, because getting off of work at 3 in the morning and having to drive home is a big dampener for me, distance-wise.
The real estate market around here is really hot, and the new housing that's going in is really dense. We're in a family home, so we're on 3 acres, so I have plenty of space to stretch wires. I'm just having to figure out how to get them upward. It's nice, no HOA or anything like that. But what area of town are you looking in?
Within a 30-minute radius of Donaldson, as a matter of fact. That's real specific.
Good area. If you look sort of south of Donaldson towards Pelzer, Williamston, that's probably going to have the space and the prices you're looking for. So if you go north or east, forget it. If you go west, towards Anderson and Pickens, there might be some areas, some stuff out there, but I know there's a lot of space if you look southward of Donaldson.
I'd stay away from the east side of Greenville. I really don't want to contend with 85 on my drive into work, and I've heard a bunch of stories of people trying to come to work, and 85 is just piled up, and ever since I heard that one side, I was like, nope, not moving on that side of town.
And also Woodruff Road, both of those during the day, forget it. Pelham Road area, forget it. I think if you look around that, just kind of south and sort of southeast of that Donaldson area, I think you could find something. You're not going to have a lot of traffic problems. I think you can probably find some space, and you're going to find the real estate prices are a little lower. So that might be a real good target area for you.
Back on to the topic of you trying to get some wire into your land. What kind of antenna are you trying to put up? Are you trying to put up a dipole or up in the air, antenna-wise?
Dipole is what I have up right now. It's an off-center fed. It's one of the Maxcon multibanders, 80 through 10, and I have it attached to the gable of my house, so it's about 2.5 stories off the ground. Does well all the way down to 40, but I've got to get it way up higher to get 80 working correctly. It's a pre-tuned antenna, and at the height it's at, it's getting an SWR of 4.3, and I've just got to get it up in the air 2-3 times, maybe 4 times the height that it's at now.
Talk about you to the Greenville, Conestoga, Malden area.
I only caught something about the Malden area, but that's really where I am.
On QRZ, I'm pretty current on there, because back in Charleston, I used my drone to put up my HF wire, and I had it pretty much flat top, but I didn't have enough distance from the ground to get it to radiate well enough.
ZEW for ID. I do have a drone, and I just got a little, I don't know what to call it, lift kit for it, where it can grapple things, put them up in the air, and then you hit the button, and it electronically releases them. So I'm thinking of trying to pull some kind of line up there, some paracord or something up a tree, and then follow it with the dipole. I've got to get out there and really just kind of examine the tree structure and stuff and see where that might be feasible.
Cool. Yeah, that's what I do. I've got a Phantom 4, and I've got a drone fishing bait release that I got under mine, and that's how I've been doing it down there in Charleston. Helped a bunch of people down there get their dipoles in the air a lot higher. I think the highest drop that I've done is probably 125 feet is the tallest point that I've ever had to throw a tag line over.
Right. And the difficulty with this one is that the balun and feed point are right where the wires meet, so it's heavy. So I'd have to pull up a drag line or something, and then haul it up over the branches. Or I'm still trying to figure out the logistics of it, because I'd love to be able to just pick up the center of, if it was a ladder line style, I could just pick up the center and haul it up that tree and be done with it.
I've done, actually, before I had the drone, I had a tennis ball gun, compressed air style, and man, that thing broke so many tag lines. Mind you, I'm using a 200-pound braided fishing line as a tag line to bring up the paracord or Nomex line up the tree. And I've broken those too many times, and just trying to get it up and over the tree. And then I saw them using the drone fishing thing. I said, that'd make a great add-on to my drone. Just trying to get the dipoles in the air.
Well, guys around here who have a couple of tennis ball guns and stuff. There's one guy. I wrote his name down in QRZ. I need to get in touch with him and get him to have a look. He's like, call me up if you need to put a wire in a tree. I just want the practice with the launcher. I have so much fun with it, and I'm so good at it. I'll come over just for the fun of it.
Yeah, mobile. Roger. Yeah. The way my friends down here used to describe it when I had the tennis ball gun, it was more of a mortar round using a tennis ball gun, and now I got the drone. They say now I'm just a sniper, just taking off trees where I want them to go.
Oh, there you go. Especially with the tennis ball gun, you get some noise out of those.
Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the old Discovery Channel stuff. It sounds like a pumpkin chunkin' gun.
Actually, no. One of the guys on one of the Punkin' Chunkin' teams, the big 10-inch, and his name is Ralph, and he actually got interviewed for Discovery Channel about the Punkin' Chunkin'. And he was on there sitting on a log drinking a beer, and that was just totally Ralph to do that, that as an interview. But yeah, I have not been to any of those matches because they're usually up north. I'd love to go to one of those events sometime.
Oh, wow, I'm still holding the repeater a little bit, and I'm only 50 miles outside of Newberry, or coming into Newberry, 50 miles.
Pretty good. This repeater has some pretty good range, and it is used a lot. Problem is, if you get in the shadow of Paris Mountain, it can be problematic. But that's kind of what I deal with in the Malden areas. Paris Mountain, kind of in between me and the repeater. But yeah, it sounds like it's getting some real range out there in the flatlands.
I don't know if you've heard me down there. Every now and then, I can hit this repeater from Charleston when the conditions are in my favor. But that only happens like once or twice a year when conditions are letting me play. Because every now and then I can hear this repeater back down in Charleston when I had a station up there down there. it's fun, but I haven't done it in a long time.
Directional, or do you just hear it over an omnidirectional?
Directional, I was, my station was right on the edge of the reservoir, so I basically big pump towards my place, or towards my base antenna, so I could see the horizon towards the north pretty good.
Impressive. I had a buddy whose dad worked in Myrtle Beach. He lives in Easley, and he could take a directional. He could point it at the tower in Dillon, South Carolina, and then, which is in fairly good range of Myrtle Beach, and he could talk to his dad using the Dillon Tower.
A buddy of mine lives on the island, and he can hit this repeater every now and then, not as often as I was playing with, but he's got a directional, and he's running less power than I was. I was running in 75 watts out of a V8000.
Strategy now. You must be getting closer, if not to Newberry at this point.
I'll sit in the valley. All right, sir. Give me a shout on QRZ. Maybe we can get together and maybe we can help each other get your antenna up. And I'm sorry they'd be on the outskirts of this repeater. But it was good talking to you. Maybe we'll catch up when I'm back in town. You have a good one. AE4BM, mobile.
I'm going to keep my eyes open for, if I'm driving around, see any houses or real estate that's non-HOA and at least address, if I see anything that might work out. So, KO4ZEW, I'll be clear on your final.
W4DJW, mobile.
KW, how you doing, Dave?
Trip to the transfer station, first time in 3 weeks. It's getting longer and longer between trips. How you doing?
Good. What transfer station are you heading towards?
O'Neill. You familiar with that one? It's north of Greer, up Highway 101. Yeah, you go past where Tom and Bernice live, and you keep on going about a mile, maybe a mile and a half from there, and it's off on the right.
I've not been up in that area, actually, quite some time. Not ringing a bell. Everything else going well with the retired life?
To enjoy it. It's still some change. It's a gradual thing. It takes time. You know, there's only like three phases in your life if you think about retirement. There's before, it's while you're a kid, and then it's while you're working, and then it's while you're retired. So I'm in that third stage. Transition to all three of them, you know, takes time.
Yeah, that's true. I'm in the, since I consult, I get downtime that I have to plan for between consulting contracts. And so I'm sort of like semi-retired right now, but I still have, a good 20 years of work or so to go overall. But I do like my downtime breaks where what I'm doing, what I did this time is I studied and got my extra with the time I had on this break, and I've been interviewing for some positions. Hopefully have something soon.
That you get a little bit of downtime every now and then. I remember getting that back in the, before the Y2K, there was the dot-com boom, and I had gone out contracting. And between contracts, usually it was one contract ends on one day and the next contract picks up the very next day because they want to know as soon as you're available. But I had one of them that lasted, that had a two-week break where I was swinging without a rope. It was kind of fun, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, something like that, with no responsibilities to anybody.
They're in the dot-com bubble in the late 90s, pre-Y2K. I mean, I was living in Rock. I just finished up my degree up at Rock Hill at Winthrop University, and all I'd have to do is call a couple of recruiters up in Charlotte and, boom, one job after another after another.
I'm affiliated with Charlotte, being down here in Greenville. I never lived up there, but I was down here. When one contract was about to end, I'd just go download my resume, take out a period, put the period back in, save it, upload it. It was the same thing. It was just refreshed. and the phone wouldn't stop ringing until I went and marked that I was no longer looking.
Contracts off LinkedIn, and yes, I have to, when I'm working, I have to put a flag on there that says, you know, not seeking new opportunities at this time. And then once I'm about four to six weeks before the end of a contract, I'll say, you know, are you thinking about renewing it, or is it a hard end of the project? You know, kind of feel out what's going on and see if I need to open the LinkedIn back up to get a jump on the next project, or, you know, if there's chance of renewal, the existing customer always gets first chance if they're thinking about renewing.
Of them, you know, each 6 months that went by, the cost for software development had gone up in between that 6 months and the previous 6 months. So I remember I just picked the one that was the highest, right? I wouldn't care what kind of project it was. I didn't care what kind of project it was. I just picked the one that was highest. And then usually what would happen is the one that you were working at before, they'd want to renew, but they'd want to renew at the same price. So, you know, you'd move on. But then they'd say, okay, can we pull you back for consulting from time to time? And I tried to do that too, but that'll run you ragged.
Agree. If I were a single guy, I would do some moonlighting and weekend contracts, but for me, I mean, it's, especially with travel, it's pretty much going to have to be a 40-hour a week, because I'm not putting in evenings and weekends. That's the girls are only going to be small for a brief period of time.
Probably way too much of. I put in weekdays, weeknights, weekends. I was enjoying it. I was having a good time. I couldn't believe people would pay me money to have so much fun.
Gigs. I've had the different spots around the IT and informatics world that were just like, some were a drag and some were I just loved it. And I was like, oh, you're going to send me this place and pay me this money. Yeah, this is fantastic.
I come from a world where I was working in a machine shop, and it's hard work. You had no time, no downtime. You kept the machines busy all the time. There was no, and I couldn't believe people pay you to write code, pay you to type keys on a keyboard. Really?
Are just floored when I tell them some of the stories about remote work, and especially during the pandemic, where I'd be like, oh, you know, they're projects. I never met my coworkers. They would just mail me a laptop. We would, you know, get on conference calls, do the work, you know, get everything, you know, get the project done, and then I would mail the laptop back to them. And I'm like, man, you know, I've never met these people, and I've been talking to them for, you know, 6 months or a year. It's a real weird feeling, and some people I tell that to, they can't fathom it.
The first one I worked with like that, he was in France and I was in the United States, and it was 10 years before he came here or I went there. We both exchanged a couple of times after about 10 years, but it was 10 years before we saw each other. We knew each other for 10 years before we saw each other, and we worked with each other almost every day. Anyway, Ben, I'm about to pull in the driveway. I got to make, that's one round. Now I got to make, that's the round to get rid of the stuff. Now I got to go to the grocery store to go pick up the stuff. So anyway, I'll see you later. Good talking to you. Enjoy this beautiful day. W4DJW.
I will catch you on down the log. KO4ZEW.